I'm overwhelmed, and I truly mean this. My beliefs were something I've always kept to myself for no particular reason, and I never knew there were a group of people that were in a formal way not only agreeing with me but doing something about it. I've never been an activist of any sort, and I'm very proud that I share, you all share my view, and I don't know what else to say except what I've done is prepare a couple of songs that I'd like to do for you tonight, okay? Thank you. I never thought that atheists made speeches, and I am certainly surprised to have been asked to. I became an atheist when my sister died at age 40. She had been an orphan and had been adopted by my parents and had fought hard for an identity, married, had 4 children, and 5 surgical procedures for cancer, but died for all her suffering. And when a rabbi said to us, "God, in his mysterious wisdom, has chosen to take this girl," that kind of clinched it for me. But I was headed that way for a long time. I had tested God in my childhood prayers. He never took it out on me. On the contrary, later I had, with the assistance of my wife, 4 children, 3 of whom are crazy about me, and 1 who isn't, though I like to think he's just angry with himself. I am a composer. I never got to serve in the armed forces, but was made quite aware then that there are no atheists in foxholes, a very powerful statement to me at the time. Years later, it occurred to me that if everyone was an atheist, there mightn't be any foxholes. Two weeks ago, I broke my wrist in a fall, and for the first time, it seemed just vaguely possible that perhaps God, although I knew there was no God, but perhaps, maybe, there might be, and with my broken wrist, he was trying to tell me not to make a speech here before the Atheist Society. On the remote possibility that this was so, that there was a God, and that it is, curiously, tonight, Yom Kippur, a religious day of atonement, when I am making this speech, I thought I should, you know, just in case, to make absolutely sure that there was no God, come up here and make the speech and see if I would be struck down. So, broken wrist and all, I'm going to struggle for this and play a few songs. Thank you. Now, the thing about the wrist is true, so I'm not going to use my right hand so much. But I did write out a couple of songs I was going to try, and now that I've gotten to meet you, to be perfectly honest, I didn't know such a society existed. I thought it was just a very private thing that I believed in. I mean, half of the people that were mentioned, people in my profession who were atheists, I had no idea. I had met Irving Berlin once, Rogers once. Obviously, it was never spoken about. And it's nice to know such wonderful company. Anyway, I'll just do it in my first show on Broadway, which people account as, you know, the beginning of life, like Adam and Eve. Broadway was by my Birdie, which had the song that he mentioned. Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face, brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face, take off that gloomy mask of tragedy, it's not your style, you look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile. An English teacher, if only you'd been an English teacher, we'd have a wonderful place in Queens, you'd get a summer vacation, and we would know what life means. And I don't know whether it's better with or my glasses or without my glasses. And then there was a song generally acknowledged to be one of the worst songs ever written in the Great American Songbook, but which became very popular because of a certain young woman. Bye, bye, birdie. I hate to see you go. Bye, bye, birdie. Gee, I'll miss you so. Oh, God, I miss you so. Okay. I don't need these glasses, I don't think. I did a show with Ray Bolger called All American. It starred one of the great musical performers of our day, Ray Bolger, but frankly, we didn't want him. We wanted a European actor because it was the part of a Russian professor who comes and falls in love with America for the same reason that Americans often disdain it, our vulgarity, our color, etc. And it was directed by Josh Loken. I wrote it with Lee Adams and Mel Brooks. And we didn't want Ray in the first place, but the director, Josh Loken, wanted him. And Ray was signed to do it. And he decided to do the part in his version of a Russian accent. And I knew we were in trouble with that show when Mel Brooks turned to me one day during rehearsal and said, "Why is Ray speaking Japanese?" That was a sign of what was going to happen in this show, which indeed did. But there was one song... as he pointed out, which was a great favorite of Lee's and mine and Mel's. Once upon a time, a girl with moonlight in her eyes put her hand in mine and said she loved me so. But that was once upon a time, very long ago. Once upon a hill, we sat beneath the willow tree. Counting all the stars, my wife just fell asleep, and waiting for the dawn. But that was once upon a time. Sorry, darling. Now the tree is gone. How the breeze ruffled through her hair. How we always laughed as though tomorrow wasn't there. We were young and didn't have a care. Did it go? Once upon a time, the world was sweeter than we knew. Everything was ours. How happy we were then. But somehow, once upon a time, never comes again. Thank you. Thank you. You notice the left hand, the right hand is not doing too much, but you're very kind. Let me tell you about the. I used to have a great problem. I don't know why I'm saying all this to you. You're all atheists. I said, well, this has nothing to do with anything, but these are things that happened to me in my life, and since you've been kind enough to give me an award and all, I may as well make you share them. I used to lack tremendous confidence. I still do in a way. I mean, we all have doubts about ourselves, but... One of the people who gave me a great deal of confidence was Lauren Bacall. She was in Lee's and my show Applause, and she was thank you, Miss Bacall. And she had balls. She was really. She was really something, and I was never... Anyway, Applause opened in Baltimore, and it opened to bad reviews, which I didn't know at the time. Later on, we went on to win the Tony Award, as he said. But the opening night, we were all scared out of our wits, and there was an interview in Bacall's hotel suite... that was being given to the critic from Look magazine, which at the time was the largest circulation in America, and he came up to see the show, and we were all very jittery, and in her suite, Lee and I were treating him very as servants, you know, would you like a Coke? And sit here, it's a little more comfortable, and Betty Comden and Adolph Green were, you know, being very slavish to him and all. We were afraid of him. And anyway, Bacall came up into our suite, and as soon as she came, cameras materialized. She was a great star, and there was a lot of flash bulbs popping, and she came in, and she said, I forget his name now, but yeah, Louis Botto, his name was. My wife just helped me out. He was this critic, and as I say, we were all scared of him. And she said, well, Louis, what did you think of the show? And he said, I thought it was very interesting. And she said, go fuck yourself. At which point, the entire, like on a sinking ship, it just turned it right at itself. Suddenly, he was being so sweet to us. Anyway, I was going to play a song from Applause. Well, I'll play a... I forget what key I am in. And what is it that we're living for? Applause, applause. Nothing I know brings on the glow like sweet applause. You're thinking you're through, that nobody cares, when suddenly you hear it starting, and somehow you're in charge again, and it's a ball, trumpets all sing, life seems to swing, and you're the king of it all, 'cause you've had a taste of the sound that says love. Applause, applause, applause. I know, that was, thank you. Thank you. It was that was a mistake to sing that because it was in the wrong key, and I hurt my hand again. Golden Boy again was another show. I'm not going to do this song because it's too much on my hand. But let me see. I thought there was a song. There was a show I wrote in that was never a big hit. Golden Boy, by the way, was a big hit. It opened 3 days before Fiddler on the Roof, so we did not get the Tony for that. But it was a wonderful show. We were always sold out because Sammy Davis was black and Jewish, and so we were never without people to fill the seats. As a matter of fact, the show had a lot of book problems, but we had a first act that was Clifford Odets, with whom Lee and I wrote the show, died the first day of rehearsal. The book was then finished by a playwright by the name of William Gibson. And as I say, we were always sold out, but the first act never matched the second act. There was a first act by Bill, a second act by Clifford, and it was very painful to watch. But nevertheless, Jews and blacks kept coming to the show because of Sammy. He was the everyman. In conclusion, no, not I, I'm. I feel so many friends here, although I never knew you existed.
There was another show I wrote, which actually my wife Barbara, who is a choreographer and director who's here with me tonight, and I must say, in all fairness to her, she did not direct me in this, but she did direct a show that I wrote called Mayor in New York, and in it was a song that I always kind of liked, and I'm going to try and do this. Many of you here, I've been told, you know, you're from all over the place, but many of you come and visit New York, right? Right. And there is, you may have noticed or will notice, a way that we have of speaking that is different. And so if, for instance, you're here for just a visit, for instance... If you are here for just a visit, you may be wondering just what is it makes us New Yorkers speak this cheerful way. That's a D. I know the feeling, for the fact is, when I first came, I had to practice until I learned the proper things to say. It's not so hard, you'll see. Real natives never say, sorry, pardon me, or have a nice day. This New York poetry, it's easy to learn how. Try this with me now. Ready? Watch where you're going, motherfucker. Blow it out of your ear, you sucker. Saying these standard things, you can't go wrong. You may use schmuck on all occasions, and if Hispanics, Kenyans, or Asians call you a schmuck right back, then you belong. Now here's a simple test. See if you can pass. Someone pushes you and says, move your fat ass. Do you say, excuse me, sir, the sign there says don't walk? You do, you're not true, New York. Here's the correct thing. Here's the best thing to say, according to Zagat. Stick your third finger up and wag it. Or if you feel Italian, try a fango. Learn from me, and you'll see. You can be a New Yorker, too. Can be a New Yorker too. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, I'll do a couple of songs for a minute. They're hard to play, but. Together at last, together forever, we're tying a knot they never can sever. I don't need sunshine now to turn my skies to blue. I don't need anything but you. Yesterday was plain awful, Annie.
You can play that again.
Yesterday was plain awful.
But that's not love. That's them.
I'm richer than Midas, but nothing on earth could ever divide us. And if tomorrow I'm an apple seller too, I don't need anything, anything, anything. I don't need anything but you. Come out tomorrow, bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be a sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day, it's
I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow, so you better hang on till tomorrow, come what may. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're always a day away. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow, come what may. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're always a day.
Thank you, Charles Strauss. I think he's going to stay around for And that ends the 34th Annual Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. What a high note to end on.